Hi, I'm Johnny Jungle Guts, and welcome to Jungle Guts, the only wildlife radio talk show broadcasting live in Chinatown on Kaechung Radio. Tonight on the show, we are going to be talking about sexual diversity in wildlife. But before we begin that conversation, I want to say, firstly, that this radio program is not intended for children. And secondly, I wanted to tell you a story about a younger version of myself. It was probably the spring of 2006. I was in the Bahamas on a research project, sort of more like ecotourism, my first sort of venture into wildlife conservation. And I sort of ended up there by accident, studying these dolphins with my friend Dorothy, and I loved it. I learned so much about whales and dolphins, and I remember one day we were out on the water, and I saw two dolphins, and one dolphin I really liked because he had lots of jagged cuts in his dorsal fin, which meant that he got in a lot of fights with sharks, and I thought that was pretty cool. And I called him Homie, and I saw Homie was fiddling around with having a not so private moment, shall we say, with another dolphin next to the boat. And I said, Homie and his lady friend need to get a room. And the biologist I was working with said, that's not his lady friend, that's another boy, that's another male dolphin. And I was just totally dumbstruck, because as a gay man, I never considered that there would be other queer individuals, even in the more primal, raw reaches of life on this planet. So it was a very exciting moment for me, and I felt less alone. And that's when I became interested in these sort of issues. And I read a book by a woman named Joan Roughgarden. She was a professor, a biology professor at Stanford, and she's sort of the expert on gender and sexual diversity in wildlife. And so I just wanted to read to you a little bit about that, a paper I wrote on this issue, because queer sexualities in nature aren't well documented, of course, because you know, historically humans have had prejudices against LGBT individuals, and it often clouded their scientific judgment in the field. So it's a new field of research, and I think a really important one. Many opponents of queer sexuality would probably like to point to either religion or science for support of their beliefs, but there are instances in nature that show that in many cases, some homosexuality can be beneficial to organisms. Homosexuality in the animal world, as in the human world, is not a direct mechanism for reproduction, obviously, but it exists on so many different levels of life: fish, birds, reptiles, mammals, amphibians. And it can function as a social mechanism that can bring animals into closer relationships with one another. This intimacy can provide an organism with a protection, with a buddy whose aid will increase their individual chance of survival, or fitness, as they call it in evolutionary biology. So, for example, around 75% of male bottlenose dolphins live in highly sexual pair bonds of two or sometimes three males, and these dolphins help each other find food, protect one another from various ocean threats, and engage in a wide variety of sexual behavior, which includes mounting, oral sex, and genital flipper stimulation. In some cases, homosexuality has evolved in the form of physical traits. The orangutan, I know, can invert his penis, and another male will penetrate it. Another way, besides social bonding, that homosexuality can serve as a useful tool is as a conflict resolver. In bonobos, which is a species of pygmy chimpanzee, conflicts are often ended. By conflicts, I mean fights, disputes, are often ended when one aggressive chimp decides to offer the other chimp oral sex or genital rubbing. And in these circumstances, sex works as a tool to alleviate tension, which will prevent animals from becoming injured or wasting their time fighting. And this protection that sex offers will increase their survival rate or their fitness because it helps ensure that the bonobo will be uninjured when it comes time to mate. So do humans who identify as transgender or genderqueer intersex have parallels in the animal kingdom? Well, they certainly do. Many animals, especially fish, change sex during their lifetimes. Blue-headed wrasse go from female to male. Clownfish go from male to female. This would have made a really good plot element in Finding Nemo, if you ask me. Lastly, hamlets, which is a kind of sea bass, are male and female simultaneously. Some coral gobies, a species of fish that lives off the coast of Okinawa in Japan, may switch genders multiple times in their lives. The ability to change gender can be highly beneficial if you found another goby, and it will be easier to switch genders to be able to mate with them rather than swim across the reef to find a new mate of the opposite gender. And there are some organisms who generally fit a two-gender binary, but occasionally are born with some intersex traits. Female white-tailed deer have been born with antlers and remained fertile. Similarly, some male deer never grow antlers and are also fertile. So there's a lot of different exciting and unique gender variation happening in the wild. Leks, which are ruffs, white-tailed, white-feathered ruffs. There's some species of birds that have more than one male type of male. Like there'll be one male with a certain coloration and that male is responsible for luring in a female. And then there'll be another male of another coloration and that male will be responsible for, taking care of the nest. And these males will share a female organism. And some animals can reproduce asexually through a process called parthenogenesis. Parthenogenesis is when an animal, instead of mating, simply clones its own DNA. Some species, I know the New Mexico whiptail lizard, are an entirely female species, but to trigger ovulation and trigger that egg production to happen, the females have to mount one another and it triggers a psychological response that allows them to start producing eggs. Komodo dragons are another species that can reproduce asexually. They have the choice to mate. There are some male Komodo dragons, but if a female is not successful in finding a male, she can simply say, what the hell, and start cloning herself. So there's a lot of gender differences and different kinds of sexualities happening out in the wild, and the varieties of genitalia that animals possess, that's really quite astounding. I mean, cats have barbs on their penises, and some male flies have genitalia that literally breaks off inside the female, and that makes it impossible for her to be inseminated by a new mate. It's a sort of a strategy to keep those genes getting passed down. And all dolphins and whales, male or female, possess a genital slit with labial folds, similar to a human vagina. In males, the penis is housed within this genital slit, and the testes do not descend because it's hard for them to swim. It would be hard for any animal to swim with that just sticking off of their body. This is because they need to have a streamlined body to swim quickly, and it wouldn't be safe if they were exposed. However, this presence of a genital slit, as I've said before, allows homosexual interaction to occur in many of the same ways that heterosexual interactions occur, and I think it may have evolved for just such a purpose. Male bottlenose dolphins can mount each other through that slit, so it's all very, very exciting. I've had some personal experiences with sexual diversity in wildlife just from volunteering with animals for so long. I volunteered in an animal sanctuary in Bolivia, and there was this one male capuchin monkey who had access to four other capuchins. Three of them were female and one of them was male, and he would sleep with them all. He would have sex with all of them, but the male besides the one in the center, the other male who he would have sex with, refused to have sex with the other females. He was only interested in having sex with that male in the center, and this took the form of different kinds of oral sex, mounting. Monkeys are very flexible, so they can get into all kinds of crazy positions. And so now I just wanted to move on to a sort of more encyclopedic portion of this program where I just go through a few more of these exciting behaviors that exist out in nature. Many of us don't realize that we have been living in a very queer world for a very, very, very long time. So, did you know that male courtship and copulation occur daily in some all-male groups of gorillas? Some males may engage in homosexual copulation more than 75 times a year in these all-male groups, and homosexual courtship at its peak can take place as often as 7 times in an hour. And gorillas spend an average of 6 years in such all-male groups. About 70% of all female red deer engage in some homosexual activity outside of the mating season. Of these, about 30% participate exclusively in homosexuality, while the remainder are bisexual. Did you know that a gray whale's penis is 3 to 5 feet in length? Two males will often intertwine their penises above the water surface, or one male may lay his erect penis on another male's belly, or perhaps nudge the other's penis with his head. And that's because whales' penises are very prehensile. They can move around a lot because it's harder for whales to, they can't hold on to each other. Female homosexual interactions may also occur in gray whales. Did you know that male giraffes have a unique courtship or affectionate activity called necking, which is often associated with homosexual mounting? When necking, two males stand side by side, usually facing in opposite directions, while they gently rub their necks on each other's body, head, neck, loins, and thighs, sometimes for as long as an hour. Some male black swans form stable, long-lasting homosexual pairs. Like heterosexual mates, same-sex partners often remain together for many years. The two males frequently perform the greeting ceremony, a pair bonding display that helps solidify and reinforce their partnership. The birds face one another, raise their wings, sometimes flapping them to expose the white feathers, and call repeatedly while extending their necks and lifting their bills up. African and Asiatic elephant males participate in homosexual mounting. Among African elephants, same-sex activity, which often takes place at or in watering holes, may be preceded by a great deal of caressing and affectionate behavior. Male wolves often mount each other when the highest-ranking female in their pack comes into heat, a time when heterosexual activity also reaches its peak. A male wolf sometimes also mounts another male when the latter is mounting a female. Male bush dogs have also been observed mounting each other, often accompanied by playful nipping of the legs or hindquarters. Female spotted hyenas have an extraordinary genital configuration that makes them superficially resemble males. Their clitoris is 90% of the length of the male's penis, nearly 7 inches long and equal to it in diameter. It can be fully erected. And as I understand, that's used in dominance displays between female hyenas. Male and female red squirrels participate in homosexual mountings, particularly outside of the breeding season. One animal approaches the other from behind, either on the ground or vertically as on a tree trunk, and grasps it around the waist. The posture used is the same as for heterosexual mating, with the mounter tucking its paws in front of the haunches of the other animal. Flamingos form both male and female homosexual pairs. The bond is expressed through shared activities such as feeding and traveling together, calling in unison, helping each other in aggressive encounters against other birds, and sleeping side by side. Eastern gray kangaroos sometimes mount one another, usually during play fights in which the partners gently push, wrestle, or box one another with their forearms. Occasionally, affectionate activities such as grooming, licking, embracing, and touching also take place during these sessions, and sometimes one male will sniff or nuzzle the other's scrotum. Male orangutans, especially younger adults and adolescents, often develop relationships and sexual encounters that go all the way to full anal intercourse. Orangutans can also retract their penises, so in a more unusual type of homosexual penetration, a male sometimes tries to insert his penis into the small hollow formed when his partner's penis retracts. Male Amazon River dolphins participate in a wide variety of homosexual interactions, including mating with each other using fully three different types of penetration. One male may insert his penis into the genital slit of the other, into his anus, or into his blowhole. Pairs of males who interact sexually can also be seen playing and resting together. Male homosexual encounters can be quite lengthy, continuing for a whole afternoon. And I just want to state again, this show is not intended for children. Now, here comes one of my very favorite and very cutest homosexual interactions in wildlife. Male West Indian manatees of all ages regularly engage in intense homosexual activities. In a typical encounter, males kiss each other by touching their muzzles together at the surface of the water. Then the two males embrace and tumble to the bottom, thrusting against each other and wallowing in the mud, rubbing their genitals against each other, often until ejaculation. Their positions are distinct from heterosexual interactions, and often several males participate at the same time in manatee orgies. So that's interesting, because that behavior of kissing at the surface and then rolling down till you're in the mud is only practiced between male manatees and is a distinctly homosexual act, biologically or perhaps even culturally. Caribou and moose occasionally participate in a variety of same-sex courtship and sexual activities. Male moose sometimes sniff the anal and genital region of other males, approaching another bull while making a mating grunt. Young male caribou sometimes mount each other. Another homosexual activity among males in both moose and caribou is antler rubbing. In these two species, as in several other types of deer, antlers are highly sensitive organs and genuine erotic zones, and males may become sexually aroused when they rub antlers together. And this next one is a biological fact I like to use on guys as a pickup line. Did you know that sea otters hold hands while they're sleeping so that they don't drift away from each other? Very romantic, I know. Did you know, this is not a sexual fact, but I think it's very exciting because I used to volunteer with mountain lions. Did you know that the territory of a male mountain lion is usually at least 58 square miles? Did you know that a single litter of kittens can be fathered by multiple toms or male cats? Did you know that the pistol shrimp can snap one of its claws so quickly that it produces a loud and powerful shockwave capable of killing its prey? Did you know that a single seahorse can consume 3,000 brine shrimp in a day? Did you know that in seahorses, it is the male who carries the young and gives birth? A male seahorse can give birth to as many as 1,500 young. Did you know, and I said this earlier in the broadcast tonight, that the New Mexico whiptail lizard reproduces asexually? Despite being an all-female species, the whiptail still engages in mock mating with other members of its own species, giving rise to the common nickname lesbian lizards. A common theory is that this behavior stimulates ovulation, as those who do not mate do not lay eggs. Did you know that rabbits re-ingest their own droppings to digest their food further and extract sufficient nutrients? Did you know that courtship, mounting, and full anal penetration between bulls has been noted to occur among American bison? The American Indian Mandan Nation Okeepa Festival concludes with a ceremonial reenactment of this behavior, which is said to ensure the return of the buffalo in the coming season. Roy and Silo, two male chinstrap penguins at New York's Central Park Zoo, were a couple for about 6 years, during which they nurtured a fertilized egg together, which was given to them by a zookeeper, and raised the young chick that hatched. Tango was the name of that chick. Did you know that both male and female pigeons sometimes exhibit homosexual behavior? As well as sexual behavior, same-sex pigeon pairs will often build nests, and lesbian hens will lay infertile eggs and attempt to incubate them. European polecats are found to engage homosexually with non-sibling animals. Exclusive homosexuality with mounting and anal penetration in this solitary species cannot be seen to serve an apparent adaptive function. Male homosexuality has also been inferred in several species of dragonfly. The cloacal pinchers of male damselflies, those are the sort of sex organs, and those inflict head damage on partners during sex, A survey of 11 species of damsel and dragonflies have revealed that mating damages, or damages to the skull induced by the reproductive organ, occur in 20 to 80% of male dragonflies as well, indicating a fairly high occurrence of sexual coupling between males. Both male and female lions have been seen to interact homosexually. Male lions pair bond for a number of days and initiate homosexual activity with affectionate nuzzling and caressing, leading to mounting and thrusting. About 8% of mountings have been observed to occur with other males. Pairings between females are held to be fairly common in captivity, but have not been observed in the wild. Hermaphroditic marine flatworms penis fence to determine who will be the mother and who will be the father of their offspring. The flatworm, which is able to stab its penis into the other flatworm's flesh, injects its sperm into the other flatworm, making the stabbed flatworm the mother. Earthworms mate in the 69 position. A blue whale's penis can be up to 8 feet long, 2.5 meters. That is probably the biggest penis in the history of our planet. It also ejaculates several gallons of semen every time it orgasms. All right, well, thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Jungle Guts. I'm Johnny Jungle Guts. It has been a pleasure here with you tonight on K-Chung Radio on 1630 AM radio here in Chinatown. If you're interested in sexual diversity in nature like I am, you should check out Nature's Rainbow by Joan Roughgarden or Biological Exuberance by Bruce Bagamil. Biological Exuberance is sort of like an encyclopedia of queer behavior in animals. But thank you so much for your time tonight, and I will see you next week. All right, thanks so much. Bye.
You're listening to K-Chung Radio, 700 AM. Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles.